So, I said, remembering my manners, how are you? Morgan said.
Good. And so is the king, and your mom, and your dad, who are standing right next to me, and just heard every word you said.
Well, I'll be fucked, I said. Okay, ignore everything I just said. That was just a test. To see if you could hear me rambling about stuff. And obviously you all could. So the test is successful and I'll just be going.
He's your cornerstone?
My mother asked quietly. And it had been so long since I'd heard her voice that I didn't know if I could trust myself to speak.
Oh, Sam.
It's fine, I said roughly.
It's not fine, Dad said. You're not fine. And don't you pretend otherwise. How long have you known?
A while.
Sam.
His voice was flat. The night of the date with Todd.
Sam, Mom said, why didn't you say anything? We would have...
I couldn't, okay? I just couldn't. He's not mine. He will never be mine.
You still should have told us,
Dad said, and I knew he was trying to keep his anger in check. Knowing him, it wasn't toward me, but the situation.
We could have been there for you. Why'd you keep that to yourself? He didn't,
Morgan said, throwing himself on the fire along with me.
I knew.
As did I, said the king. And forgive an old man his selfishness. I wasn't thinking clearly. Justin had just been taken, and I was concerned with his well-being. I never should have asked this of Sam.
You're damn right you shouldn't have,
my father snapped.
I'm sorry about your son. I really am. And I'm overjoyed that Justin's safe. But this is my son we're talking about. Not only did you put him in danger, you did so knowing how he felt. Gods, Anthony, if you weren't the king and if I didn't respect the hell out of you, we'd be settling this with our fists. Spoiler, you would lose.
Ladies and gentlemen, my father. Dad, I admonished lightly. You can't threaten the king. You'll be pooping in buckets by nightfall.
I don't care, he retorted. I'd poop in buckets for the rest of my life if it meant your heart was safe.
Oh, my gods.
Okay, he said. That didn't come out the way I wanted it to, but I stand by it.
Oh, my gods.
Sam, I want you to listen to me, okay?
The king said.
I'm about to give you a direct order.
I stood a little taller without even thinking about it. He was my king, after all. Yes, your highness?
Come home.
Of course. Anything you... Wait, what?
I want you to come home. Back to Castle Lox.
I can't, I said, a small fissure of want bursting within me. Gods, I just wanted to go home. I have to go to Randall at Castle Frisius. We talked about this.
He can wait, the king said. I think you need your family more than anything right now. And I'll be damned if I let a little thing like your magic keep you from them.
But it's not a little thing, I said. It's getting worse. I'm doing things that no wizard should be able to do. Morgan was right to send me to Randall. He's...
Morgan!
The king interrupted.
Is it important?
Yes,
Morgan said slowly.
I think it is.
And do you agree with me that Sam should never be surrounded by those that love him most?
Yes.
Good,
the king said.
Then make Randall come to Castle Lox. He can just as easily evaluate you here as he can at Castle Frisius.
I don't think that...
Morgan,
He'll need to be here regardless,
the king said quietly.
Gods,
Morgan muttered.
I didn't even...
What? I asked. Why would Randall come to Locks without... And that's when it hit me. The wedding. Randall would need to be there to officiate the wedding between Justin and Ryan. The king wasn't on his way out, and wouldn't be hopefully for years to come. But Ryan could just as easily be prince consort as he could be the king consort. It was the wedding of the century. And of course, the oldest and most notable wizard in existence would be there. And of course, the same wizard was ordained to perform such ceremonies. He'd married the king to his queen all those years before, and most likely a long line of royalty and notables before him. Well, that fucking sucked. But I needed to man the fuck up. No more of this stupid bullshit. I needed to get up and get over this and be who I was supposed to be. I could do this. That's fine, I said briskly. I'll come home. Most likely, Justin and Ryan will go on ahead. I'll take a few days and then start out. Just so you know, we'll probably be coming back with Kevin. I'm pretty sure he and Gary are dating, or it's like Stockholm Syndrome. Either way, it's creepy and sweet, and will most likely end up with me walking in on something that will scar me for life.
Kevin, Morgan said, you're bringing back the dragon named Kevin that you can talk to because he's in love with Gary.
Oh, it's not just me. Everyone can talk to him. Though, they just have to stand next to me because I think it's a proximity thing. Though, I'll be honest, most people probably won't want to stand near me and him at the same time because he tends to want to sleep with everything that has a pulse. And maybe a few things that don't.
Just what kind of quests are you sending my son on?
Dad asked.
This is not a normal thing,
Morgan said quickly. Kind of normal, I said. Semi-normal.
Not helping,
Morgan said.
Sam, Mom said, don't sleep with a dragon for your first time. If that's what you want to do down the road, I won't stop you. But I want your first time to not have scales and claws.
And of course my mother knows I'm a virgin, I muttered.
Well, yes, she said. A mother's intuition. I know everything.
I could hear the frown in her voice when she continued.
Well, I didn't know about Ryan being your cornerstone, so maybe not everything. I failed you as a mother.
Just one time, I told her. Not all the other times.
You should have told us,
Dad said. What could you have done?
Something.
Like?
Just shut up. I would have punched someone. I still might. Now I know why Tiggy wants to smash everything. He looked at me when he said that,
the king said.
It's okay. I pretty much deserve it.
And Tiggy and Gary?
Mom asked.
They're okay?
Yeah. Aside from Gary being dragon wooed and Tiggy possibly destroying a town filled with corn and colts with his fists.
Sometimes,
Dad said.
The sentences that come out of your mouth make me smile. That was one of them. I no longer want to hit something too badly.
He is smiling,
Mom said, then dropping her voice as if she thought I wouldn't hear her.
Should we talk about the fan club thing?
I don't think he meant to say that,
Dad whispered back.
He'll probably be too embarrassed to talk about it.
It just makes so much more sense now, doesn't it? He's so like you.
Yeah, he's a wizard's apprentice, but he also has a creepy sense of romance.
Sam, Mom said, louder. You get that from your father. Sometimes, when I wake up at night, he's watching me sleep.
It's true, son,
Dad said.
We're kind of creepy. But we love with our whole creepy hearts.
I groaned. If that was supposed to make me feel better, you failed.
I followed your mother around for a week before I got the courage to go up and talk to her,
Dad said.
I stayed in the shadows and tried not to breathe heavily.
Of course,
Mom said, a smile in her voice.
I knew he was there the whole time. The first time he approached, I wondered if he was finally going to murder me. So I knocked him flat on his ass and told him I would gut him if he tried anything.
So badass, I whispered in awe.
And then I gave her the flowers I'd brought for her, Dad said. I'd accidentally squashed them, but she didn't mind.
And then we had you, Mom said. Okay, well, I skipped a bunch of steps there, but you get the idea. I don't think you want to hear about your parents having sexual inter...
Stop it, I said. Stop it right now.
He's just jealous because we're not virgins, Dad said. Not even close to being virgins. Any kind of virgin.
Oh, you. Mom giggled. Oh, my gods, I said, because I wanted this to be over. Feel better now? Mom asked. I think horrified is the word you're looking for. I feel horrified. We are good at this parenting thing, Mom said.
Pretty much the best,
Dad agreed.
I would marry the both of you if I could, the king said.
You are wonderful.
Oh, come on, I cried.
He's just being polite, dear heart,
Mom said.
Politely wanting to get all up on this,
Dad said. No, I said. You are not allowed to be in the same room with each other ever again. There will be no parental three ways. I command you. They all laughed at me like jerks.
Can I have a word alone with Sam?
Morgan asked quietly. For a moment, Mom, Dad, and even the king sputtered. But then they stopped, and I knew exactly the look on Morgan's face that brooked no further argument. It's all eyebrows and frown lines and narrowed eyes, and I almost ached at missing him. Missing them all. I knew I needed to go home. I needed them right now. And even if it meant having to face the one thing I didn't ever want to see, at least I'd have my whole family by my side. Eventually their voices faded until I knew it was just Morgan and I. He let me breathe for a moment, knowing I needed it. I wish I could see his face. He said,
Sam, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I said hoarsely.
I should have fought harder to go in your place.
Nah, I said. You know I would have found some way to get involved. I'm awesome like that.
Awesome. Right.
Morgan?
Yes, little one.
You were right.
Oh?
To be worried about my heart. A sigh.
I know.
I just thought... I took a breath. I thought I'd control it better. It fucking hurts.
You said he felt the same?
No, I said. The coercion forced him to say he was attracted to me. Nothing more. And it's not like it matters. He swore an oath. To Justin.
What? What kind of oath?
One that they both agreed to for mutual benefit. It's none of my business, anyway. Or any of ours. It's between them. You know what a knight's oath means? Especially when made in fealty to a king-in-waiting? It meant that only Justin could release Ryan from his oath. And that was never going to happen.
This fucking sucks,
Morgan said. I couldn't help it. I laughed. You sound way too much like me.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, not traveling back with them.
Sure, I said. I have all the ideas.
I'll get in touch with Randall.
He's going to be pissed.
He'll get over it. I want you to come straight home, Sam. No detours, no deviations.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Sam?
Are we going to talk about the lightning thing? I asked quickly. Or... He sighed.
Lightning, Sam? Really?
Right. That's what I said. While I was running for my life?
The Darks aren't going to forget.
I can take them. Apparently.
You really shouldn't.
It's weird, though, right? They must be super pissed off if they keep following me. Was Lartin some kind of big to-do? I never heard of him before. Was he like their king or something? Can wizards have kings? Oh, wait. Randall. Sort of. Oh, gods. Did we kill the king of the darks? Silence. Morgan!
Hush. I'm thinking about what to say.
You mean you're trying to figure out what secret to keep?
He was important to the darks, Sam. No official ranking. I guess it's easiest to say that he was beloved in his way. People had an affection for him, even if he was a bit out there.
That sort of made sense. You mean like that special uncle that everyone just loves, but is still kind of creepy because his touches last just a bit too long, but he's always really apologetic about it, and then he brings you pie? Morgan sighed.
I don't even know why I bother anymore.
You love me. Don't front. Essentially, we killed someone popular.
Creepy popular. And not just killed. Obliterated.
Tiggy tends to get protective.
Sam, the only way they could tell it was Lawton was because one of his fingers found embedded in the bedrock was wearing a ring with his signet on it. Let me repeat. Finger embedded in rock.
Very protective, then. Maybe we could have gone about it a bit differently. Sure. But it's not like there's a bounty on my head or anything. Silence. There's a bounty on my head, isn't there?
Finger in the rock.
I grinned. Okay. I'll admit, this is a first. And I'm strangely thrilled by it. How much am I worth?
Yeah, about that. So, they're not really offering any coin for it. Or gold. It's more of a... for the sake of doing it. And the notoriety.
What? I'm not worth anything?
I wouldn't say that,
Morgan said.
You're worth plenty. To me, and your mom, and dad, and Carrie and Tiggy. Just not to the people who want to kill you.
Not helping, I growled. Who gets a bounty on their head when there is no actual bounty?
You do, apparently. First, I've heard of that happening. But then you talk to dragons and get gay fairy married, so I try not to question things too much anymore.
Those weren't my fault. First, I can't help it if I attract the weirdos. Second, I'm about to be attacked by angry cult members who are carrying scythes and torches.
You are a weirdo. And tell those angry cult members... Wait, what?
Farther down the road, cresting the hill into the valley, came the people of Tarker Mills. Eloise in the lead. She looked so badass, with her hair billowing around her, that I was almost able to admire her and forget the fact that most likely she was coming to kill us all. For once, I'd like to have the wind blow just right and make my clothes billow around me and have someone say, "Dude, look, that guy is so cool. I want to be him when I grow up." I said to Morgan, "I have to go."
"When you get back, I am never letting you out again. Do you hear me?"
he said.
"A cult, Sam. Only you would stumble upon a cult."
"You say that like it's insulting."
"It's certainly not a compliment."
"Well, if it makes you feel better, they've gotten me over firework corn. I never want to see corn again."
"Sam?"
"Yeah?"
"Stay safe."
And the crystal went dark. "Gods," I muttered. "I can't even get the exit line. I don't get the guy. My clothes don't billow when I crest hills. I don't even get the last word. What the fuck?" I thought about taking a stand right then and there. I didn't want to hurt any of them. Except for maybe Eloise. I wanted to beat her in the face with corn. Because they were under whatever truth they'd been fed that day. I didn't want to underestimate her either. After all, she built an entire cult up in 50-some-odd days, and that takes real dedication. That and the fact that she was probably batshit crazy. I was also still pissed off at her that she'd made me eat her hair. That shit is not hygienic. So I did the only thing I could think of. I ran in the opposite direction. Chapter 24. Upon These Stars. They must have heard me running gracefully. Read, not gracefully at all. Because when I rounded the corner to the keep, Ryan, Gary, and Tiggy were already moving forward. Ryan had his sword drawn again, and Gary and Tiggy looked ready to lay down some righteous fury. "What the hell is happening?" Ryan demanded. And yeah, apparently working out should become part of my regimen because I was seriously out of breath. I held up a finger at them as I bent over, trying to catch my breath. "Sam!" Gary said. Gods, didn't he understand the point of the finger? I glared at him. He rolled his eyes.
"He breathes a lot through his mouth,"
Justin said, sounding disgusted.
"I've noticed that."
I wanted to tell him that I was going to shove some magic up his ass, but I couldn't quite yet make the words come out. "Why are you noticing his mouth?" Gary asked sweetly.
"Aren't you getting enough at home?"
Ryan scowled like a champ. I couldn't even begin to guess who that scowl was meant for.
"Tiggy gonna smash some things,"
Tiggy said.
"Tiggy angry."
"No, Tiggy," Gary said. "Not things. You want to smash princes." Tiggy turned toward Justin, who had the decency to take a step back. "Cult," I finally managed to say.
"Coming to murder our faces."
"Well, shit," Gary said. "I told you we should have killed them all. But Knight Sanctimonious face over there was all like, 'No, we can't. We're good, and our hearts are pure, and we must spare lives and watch as I pose with everything I do.'"
"I did not say that,"
Ryan said.
"And I don't pose." I gulped another breath. "You're posing right now."
And he was, standing there, sword drawn, shoulders squared, chin held high, eyes on the horizon. And gods, he looks so fucking hot doing so. Like a douche, yes, but a hot douche. "I told you we should have killed them," Gary said.
"We can't just kill people," Ryan said.
"They were holding us prisoner."
"That doesn't make it right. Killing people never does."
"Oh?" Gary asked. "What about Moisha?"
"I'll kill him,"
Ryan snarled. Then, I mean,
no way. What? Who?
"Do I even want to know?"
Justin asked, edging away from Tiggy, who was frowning at him. "Elvin Hoare," Gary said. "Works for Sam's fairy drag mother. Long story."
"Funny," Justin said. "You all seem to have a lot of those now."
"I've got your long story right here,"
Kevin said, curling his tail around Gary's legs.
"Dude," I said, "so not cool. Like, at all."
"Hush," Gary said, leaning into the dragon.
"I think it's endearing."
"You've known him for 2 hours. He can't yet be endearing."
"It's endearing,"
Gary insisted, as Kevin's tail started to rub against his own. "And maybe slightly invasive." "You're not getting to third base with my best friend while I'm watching," I told Kevin.
"Why not, pretty?"
Kevin purred.
"The more, the merrier, I always say. We can just go back into the keep and drink some wine and take off our clothes and just go for it, you know? Just do it. It's just our bodies. Everyone's got one. Sweaty, naked bodies that..."
"I am so uncomfortable right now,"
Ryan said. "Guys," I said, "cult. Coming to murder our faces. Priorities."
"Why don't you just use your magic?"
Justin asked.
"It shouldn't be that hard."
"Ugh,"
Ryan said.
"It's harder than you think," Gary said, wide-eyed and innocent.
Justin grimaced at Ryan.
"Did you just drool? Seriously, Ryan, I can't take you anywhere. What the hell?"
What? What? Ryan said, wiping his mouth.
No, of course not. That'd be weird.
His eyes were still glazed over as he looked down at my hands as if he'd expected me to cast a spell right in front of him. Instead, I was focusing on not getting an erection because apparently I had a kink for Ryan's kink for my magic. I didn't come this far to get murdered by a cult, Justin said. Wow, Gary said. I didn't think you went far at all. I thought we were the ones that did all the work to rescue you. Funny that. You're kind of a bitch, aren't you? Justin said. What did you call me? Oh, Gary's gonna bring the pain. Shut up, I snapped. All of you, for fuck's sake. Surprisingly, they all shut up. Wow, I said. I didn't think that was going to work. Huh. I must be intimidating. Like a butterfly, Gary said. I ignored him. Kevin's going to stop them. They all slowly turned to the dragon, who looked like he was trying to slip his nose under Gary's tail.
Air,
he said.
What now?
You're a god to them, dude, I explained. They built a cult around you. They'll listen to you. Tell them to fuck off so we can get the hell out of here.
What's in it for me?
Gary, I said.
I'll do it,
he said promptly. Wait, Gary said. What? I rolled my eyes. Like he's going to not go with us now? You know he's going to follow us home.
We're in love,
Kevin announced quite loudly. No, Gary said. We're in lust. There's a difference.
It's love,
Kevin said.
You make me burn. Without you, I am nothing. I want to fillet you until you cry.
Gary stared at him. I might have gotten in over my head.
I shall protect you, my love,
Kevin said, pulling himself up to his full height.
You are the most important thing in the world to me. And since we will not be having an orgy with all your friends... Wait, what was that?
I didn't say anything, Gary said.
No?
Kevin said.
I swear I just heard you say you wanted to have an orgy with all your friends.
I didn't say that.
You sure?
Positive.
Oh, well, as I was saying... Since we will not be having an orgy, right? Anyone? No one? Seriously? Not a single one of you? Ugh, fine. Since there will be no orgy, I shall instead defend your honor. Because you're my one and only.
I don't believe you so much anymore, Gary said. Because of the orgy. You have to act godlike, I said. Make it believable! Really sell it. Kevin cocked his head at me.
So, like I normally act.
What? No, no. The exact opposite of how you normally act. The furthest thing from how you normally act. Don't even act like you normally do, and you'll be closer than you are right now.
Got it,
Kevin said.
Act like normal. Because I'm a god, should I do an accent? That's normal. Normal people have accents. This is your god speaking. Bow down to me.
We're doomed, I moaned. We should really do something about your pessimism, Gary said. Have a little faith, huh? I mean, just look at us. I looked at them. A hornless gay unicorn built out of rainbows and bitchiness. A half-giant who wanted to smash everything. A dragon who winked and flicked his tongue at me. A prince who I wanted to protect, but also punch in the face. A knight I had a heart boner for. We're doomed! I moaned again. Doomed! Dragon, Gary said.
Yes, light of my life.
I don't want to die today. Nor do I want any of my friends to die today. And by friends, I mean Sam and Tiggy. Hey, Ryan said. Sounding put out. I thought we were friends. Gary turned to look at him with narrowed eyes. It was rather frightening. You thought that, huh? Gary, I said.
Fine, he growled.
Justin and Ryan can't die either. But they're not my friends. Especially Justin, but mostly Ryan. Ow, Justin said flatly. My heart. Ryan actually looked hurt by it.
I shall protect you all,
Kevin said, puffing out his chest and raising his head. His eyes flashed and a lick of fire rolled out of his nose.
And then we should talk about that orgy.
So we stood in a line, our backs to the keep, waiting for Eloise and the creepy people of Tarker Mills to descend upon us. Somehow, Ryan ended up next to me and kept trying to inch his way in front of me.
What are you doing?
I whispered.
Nothing,
he said, and then tried to shove me behind him. Are you trying to protect me? I asked, starting to get slightly pissed.
Dude, knock it off. You're not my knight in shining armor. You're a dick in dented tin.
His jaw clenched.
Might as well be me, he said. After all, I'm your cornerstone. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, that motherfucker. You do not get to say that, I hissed at him. You're not my anything, and I don't need you to protect me. I've been doing just fine without you and will continue to do so long into the future. Go be dashing and immaculate somewhere else.
Get down with your bad self, Gary muttered. We don't need no mans.
Tiggy and Gary and Sam don't need no mans,
Tiggy agreed.
Maybe, Ryan said. If you'd be honest with me, we wouldn't even be in this position in the first place.
Are you two seriously having this argument right now?
Justin asked. I ignored him as I glared at the back of Ryan's head. Bullshit, I said. We're here because a dragon kidnapped your fiancé, who you swore an oath to.
I would like to be kept out of this,
Kevin said.
I feel like there is a lot of misplaced anger going around. Bow down to your god, humans.
The oath has nothing to do with you,
Ryan said through gritted teeth. Just as anything to do with a cornerstone has nothing to do with you, I said, and he recoiled. I had the sense to feel slightly bad at the wounded look on his face. It didn't matter, though. I was pissed. But before Ryan could retort with whatever was going on in that stupid head of his, Eloise and the colt rounded the final corner to the keep. Their eyes widened when they saw Kevin sitting regally next to us, tail and wings twitching.
He is glorious, Eloise breathed.
I wish I could say the same for her, but she looked worse for wear. Her hair was a mess around her face, and I thought she was missing a tooth or two, which went well with the shiner she was sporting on her right eye, and a bruise on her cheek suspiciously shaped like a hoof print.
Dude,
I said reverently, not even trying to keep my voice down. Did you kick her in the face? Gary preened.
That I did.
I love you, I told him. Seriously, I am in awe of you.
I punched 17 people,
Tiggy said. And you're my favorite giant ever, I said. They will tell stories of your bravery.
I punched and kicked people too, Ryan said.
I ignored him.
Awkward,
Gary whispered to Tiggy.
You're alive?
Eloise asked as she glared at me.
How is that possible?
Do God stuff, I muttered, elbowing Kevin.
Be all godly.
Kevin took a step forward, his claws digging into the earth. The crowd in front of us said,
Ooh.
When he spoke, his voice was deep and rumbly. He sounded ridiculous.
You approach my keepeth, mere mortals. What saith you? For speaketh to me, F.
Oh my gods, I said. Dude, come on, you had one job.
Forgive us, our Lord Dragon,
Eloise said, curtsying deeply.
We are truly blessed to be in your presence. You humble us by allowing our audience You are truly a creature of magnificence and beauty.
Kevin said.
Wicked.
My lord dragon, if I may, Eloise said, eyeing me again. Why do you harbor the sacrifice? Was the wizard not up to your obviously high standards? I would have assumed you would have eaten him by now.
Hey, I said, offended. I am like the highest of standards.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, Justin said under his breath.
Kevin said.
Oh, well, I was saving him for a snack later. I have irritable bowel syndrome, and he looks to be a bit stringy.
Stringy? You listen here, motherfucker, I'll cut you.
And loud,
Kevin said.
But those lips, I was waiting, I guess.
Eloise's eyes widened.
You wish to have us here to witness the sacrifice? Oh, my lord, what an honor.
She turned back to her people and clapped her hands together giddily.
The great and venerable dragon god is going to eat the wizard right in front of us.
What?
Kevin said. What? I said.
Ryan tensed and tried to push me behind him again. This did not go unnoticed by Justin, who scowled at us.
He's not going to eat him, Ryan snapped.
I'm not going to eat him,
Kevin said.
Why? Eloise asked. Then she frowned. Unless you're not the god we thought you were?
What?
Kevin said.
Shut up. I am totally a god. So godlike. God of dragons, they call me. Beast from the east. They all say so.
Who calls you that? Gary asked curiously.
You know,
Kevin said.
Them.
Well, Eloise said, if you truly are a god, then you should eat the wizard. We are your loyal subjects, and we have provided a sacrifice for you.
Kevin said. Don't you dare eat my best friend, Gary said. You'll never know the pleasures of my supple body if you do.
Supple, you say?
Kevin asked, his voice a purr. Eloise grimaced.
Are you really going to listen to this? This blasphemous creature?
Honey, Gary said. The only thing that's blasphemous up in here right now is your hair. That should be tragic.
Boom!
Tiggy said, and fist hoof bumped Gary. Dragon, Eloise snarled.
I command you to eat the wizard. And that's when things screeched to a halt.
Kevin tensed dangerously, spikes along his back quivering.
Oh, bitch. You've gone and done it now, Gary muttered.
What did you say?
Kevin asked, voice suddenly more dangerous than I'd ever heard it. He moved then, curling himself almost like a snake, his tail wrapping around all of us.
You command me? A human?
If you truly are our god, she said, you will rejoice in our sacrifice to you.
His eyes narrowed.
No one commands me. Least of all, you.
Something flickered in her eyes, almost like fear. The crowd behind her took a step back away from Eloise.
Dragon,
she tried.
Tell me,
Kevin growled.
Do you often make demands of your gods? Is that what you think they're for? For humans like you, to lay your burdens upon them, to do as you ask, and if they don't, you doubt them? Tell me, woman, is that what you are asking? Of a god?
Her eyes turned to slits, mouth a thin line. She straightened her shoulders. Her hands tightened around the handle of the axe she carried. She opened her mouth to undoubtedly give the order to attack, for the people behind her could not disobey in order to sacrifice themselves for her. But she didn't get a single word out as the dragon struck quickly, neck stretching, jaws snapping closed. Eloise didn't even have a chance to make any sound as his neck worked when he swallowed her down. All that remained was the axe on the ground, the handle resting between her feet that jetted twin sprays of blood where they'd been severed at the ankles. His throat worked as the muscles carried the woman down his esophagus, and when he looked forward again, he grimaced, coughed once, burped loudly, and I wondered if it tasted like Eloise. Then he said,
"That's going to be a bitch to pass later."
"Holy fuck," I breathed. Kevin grinned at me. "You have some cult leader stuck in your teeth," I said faintly. He looked at the crowd staring up at him in horror. He raised his head, glared down at them, and said,
"Buh."
They all ran, screaming. That night, I lay on my back on the roof of the keep, watching the stars above, wondering just how in the hell my life had gotten to this point. Then I realized it was mostly my fault. And that made me sort of depressed and happy, all at the same time. I told myself that it was because I was extraordinarily complex. Mostly, though, I believed it was just because I was weird. The stars were bright above me. Away from the lights of any city, they shone down like beacons in the dark. I had so many, many things I wanted to wish for, but I couldn't think of a single one. I was exhausted and sad. Tomorrow, Justin and Ryan would start on their way back to the City of Locks. We would follow them in a few days. At first, Ryan looked stunned that I was coming back to Castle Locks instead of going to Castle Frecia's. That lasted about 2 seconds before he started vehemently disagreeing with our plans, saying we should travel together, that it'd be safer. I told him I was being followed by darks and was traveling with a dragon. It was safer for the prince if he was away from me. Justin, of course, had immediately approved. Ryan argued. I told him it wasn't up for debate. Ryan had refused to look at me for a long time after that. Whatever. I didn't need his shit. I needed his shit. God, that sounded wrong. It didn't matter. It didn't. We'd get back to the city, and I would work with Randall, and Justin would marry Ryan, and eventually everything would be okay again. Everything would be... "I figured you'd be up here," he said. And I closed my eyes because, of course, he would follow me up here. Of course, he couldn't leave well enough alone. "You figured right," I said, voice light and even. I didn't look over at him as he hoisted himself up through the hatch. He closed the hatch behind him. He obviously wanted this to be private, but beyond that, I didn't know what else. Whether to try and change my mind about traveling separately, or to chew me out for not telling him what a cornerstone was, it didn't matter. No good could have come from the conversation, and I sure as shit wasn't going to give him the satisfaction. I was weak when it came to Ryan Foxhard. And I wouldn't let him make me weaker. So when he said, "Mervin, huh?" I flushed furiously and refused to even dignify that with a response. "Yeah," he said quietly. "Should have seen that one." He moved to stand at the edge of the keep, off to my left. I could see him out of the corner of my eye. I kept my gaze resolutely on the stars. "That one's on me." I waited. "You never would have told me, would you?" I could have played dumb, but I was done with games. It wasn't just about this. It was about everything. "No," I said. He nodded, as if that's the answer he expected. "Because of Justin?" "Partly." "Oh, what were the other parts?" "It doesn't matter." "Of course it does." "Why?" "Because it matters to me." "Why?" "Gods," he said through gritted teeth.
You infuriate me.
I rolled my eyes.
Sam?
What?
I just wanted him to go the fuck away.
I care about you, okay? I do.
You have no idea how much or for how long.
Stop it, I said, sitting up and finally looking at him. Just stop it. I kept my voice from cracking as best I could. I pushed myself up from the ground. You can't say anything like that. You can't.
Why?
He said, taking a step toward me. Ryan, I said, and I was pleading. I was begging for him to shut up, to keep talking, to come closer, to go away. I wanted to talk to you, he said, taking another step, and I willed myself to move away, to run as fast as I could. But nothing happened. I was paralyzed in front of him, and I couldn't even find a fucking flare of magic because my goddamn cornerstone was standing right in front of me, and I could do nothing that might end up hurting him.
For the longest time, I wanted to walk right up to you and say my name. That I was Ryan. That I was Knox. That I was here because of you. That I did this because I wanted to prove to you that I could. That I crawled out of the slums because of you.
You don't owe me shit, I said. You fucked your way to get where you were. You said you were a whore, that you slept with people, men, for money to get out of the slums. You said you wanted to get out of there because of me. If you did, then I made you do that. That thing. That no child should ever have to do. I did that to you. Stop making me out to be some kind of hero when I'm anything but.
You can't blame yourself for the choices I made, he growled.
And so I swung the trap shut. Then you can't blame me for the choices I made too. He flinched, but didn't move away. I could have reached out and touched him if I'd wanted to. And I wanted to very much. But I couldn't.
You should have told me, he said. The moment you knew, you should have told me.
You're with the prince. You're getting married to Justin. I have a right to know. I laughed bitterly. No, you don't. You didn't even know what a cornerstone was before this everything. It's not something for you. It's not something you need.
It's about me, he snapped. You can't tell me it's not. You were leaving to go to Randall because you couldn't control your magic. I fucking help you control your magic. How the hell can you say it's not for me? That it's not something I need?
It's not a one-time thing, I said. It's not just you. There could be others. There will be others. Because you can't be what I need. You can't be the one to anchor it down. There will be others, and I will find them, and they will help me, and I will show them why I was made for them. I will show them how great I can be. Because I will never be anyone's second choice. I will never be second best to someone I love.
No one else, he said hoarsely. Sam, you can't. You can't.
Why? I have to. I don't have a choice. If I don't, I am no better than the Darks, except I'm stronger than all of them put together. Do you know what would happen? Do you know what I could do, Ryan? I could destroy everything.
No,
he said. There has to be another way. There will be. We'll find it.
I'll find it.
There is no other way, I shouted at him.
There's always another way, he snapped. You can't just fucking give up.
I have to, I said. I have to give up on you. Because there's nothing left for me with you.
Sam,
he said. And gods, I hated how he said my name. Like I was everything to him. Like I was important. Like I was all he could ever want.
You can't believe that.
You don't. Just please, we can... Then let's go, I said, taking a step toward him, challenging him, already knowing his answer. Let's go right now. Leave this behind. Break your oath. Break it and come with me. We'll be everything together. Break it.
Sam,
he choked out, reaching for me in an aborted attempt.
You... I can't.
My word is my honor. I am a knight of Varenya, and that is all I am. It's all I have. I promised my mother that I would be something, and I am. She was all that I had for the longest time, and I did this for her. I am doing this for her. She wouldn't want... I can't just... And what about me? I roared at him. Where the fuck do I fit in with your honor? His fingers twitched, and then he was cupping my face and saying, Sam, and please, and I want, in a fractured voice that I just could not handle. He said, you don't have to do this, okay? I promise. Come back with us, with me. Just come with me. I'm selfish. I am. I don't care. I'm sorry, but I don't. I want you to come back with me, and just be there with me. Okay. I know. It sucks. It's awful. But I'll make it work, okay? I can do this. We'll figure something out. Yes, there's Justin. Okay. And I gave him my filthy. But we can be... Can you ever hear what you're saying? I asked him, trying to pull my face away. Can you ever hear what you're asking me to do? His grip tightened on my face, not hurting, but not soft either.
I don't know what else to do, he said,
sounding more miserable than I'd ever heard him before.
Why?
I asked again, my eyes never leaving his. It felt quiet, this moment, and huge. My skin was too tight, and I was breaking apart underneath it. I ached, and even before he spoke, I knew his words would shatter everything, but there was nothing I could do to stop him.
Why are you even pushing this? Why do you care? What the fuck do you want from me?
And he said,
can't you see? Sam, God,
it's there. It's here. He grabbed my hand and held it over his chest. I could feel the rapid beat of his heart underneath my fingers.
It's here. Ever since I first saw you, you've been with me. I couldn't have forced you away if I tried. I'm sorry I made an oath.
I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. And I'm sorry that I can't break it. But you have to believe me that it's always been you.
I promise.
His voice cracked and my hand shook.
I promise because when I look upon these stars, there is nothing I wish for more than you.
I can't be blamed then. I can't be blamed for kissing him. Because everything broke within me. And I was hollowed out and empty. So I kissed him. I surged forward and he exhaled into my mouth, a rush stronger than a sigh. I took it in as my eyes fluttered closed and as a day's worth of his stubble scraped against my chin. I've kissed people before. A girl was my first, when I wasn't sure who I was. Her name was Claire. A boy named Dougie on a dare. A castle guard named Craig when I turned 18 and got drunk on my birthday. They were kind and sweet, but they were never like this. The tug of my lip as he worried it between his teeth. The slide of his tongue against mine. Slick and warm, my heart ratcheting up in my chest. His thumbs on my cheek as he pulled away briefly, lips red and wet. Then he was on me again, pulling us together, our bodies aligning perfectly. The heat of him wormed its way through my clothes, and I might have whimpered quietly. But he swallowed it down, never letting it escape. A secret between us, here in the dark. The stars shining down upon us. His breath was hot as he kissed his way up my jaw, the swipe of his tongue against my ear. My fingers curled against his chest, and he was all muscle as I breathed him in. Wood smoke and sweat and blood. And we had to stop this. We had to stop before we couldn't stop. I never wanted to. I never wanted it to end, which is why it had to. I said,
no, no, no.
My voice like gravel. He brought his lips again to mine, his tongue insistent as it brushed my lips. He pulled away, but only just, pressing his forehead against mine. Our eyes were open, and we panted at each other, holding on tight. His eyes were blown wide, the pupils dilated until there was only a hint of color. His cheeks were blotchy and his lips were spit slick, and I thought savagely, I did that. I did that to him. And how my magic sang. It sang because I'd given it what it wanted most. Tasting him, having him, for a brief, shining moment. I thought myself capable of anything. Everything. But it faded. Because I knew the truth. We'd carved out this little space just for him and me, but the moment we let go, the moment we stepped back, it would be over and we'd never have it again. So I couldn't be blamed then for holding on for just a little bit longer, for thinking this could be real, that it was just as easy, for wishing harder than I'd ever wished for anything before, that this moment would never end because I'd found someone made for me. And I wanted to show Ryan why I was made for him. He croaked.
Sam.
Yeah?
My word is my bond.
He said quietly. Desperately. Trying to get me to understand. I know. Because I did.
I would break it for you.
Would you? I asked him. Would you really? And he hesitated. That was all the answer I needed. I didn't blame him. Not completely. I knew what oaths meant to knights. Especially when made to their kings and future kings. A knight who could not be trusted to honor his oath might as well not be a knight at all. I knew what was important to him. I didn't blame him. I had made my own oaths, my own promises. I understood. And so I let him go. He tried to hold on, tried to keep me from stepping away, but in the end, he couldn't without hurting me. His hands trailed down my arms until he gripped my fingers and opened his mouth to say what? I don't know. Because he closed it again and shook his head, tugging on my hands, trying to pull me back.
We danced, he said, 3 times the first time. If I'd known, if I could have known what... Sam, I don't...
We'll be okay, I said. One day. One day this will all have faded. Everything we feel right now.
I don't want it to fade,
he snapped at me. We don't have a choice. I won't be your secret. I won't let you be mine.
I won't be. It won't be. He'll understand.
He'll... Ryan, let me go.
No,
he said, shaking his head.
No, I won't. You can't make me. You can't...
Ryan.
Fuck.
He said. I wish... I know. I pulled my hands away. He let them go this time. I took a step back. And another. And another. He never looked away. Once there was enough space between us so that neither of us could reach out and touch the other, I said, You'll leave. In the morning. Take the old road back to the city of Locks. Take what supplies you'll need. There's an extra rucksack. Don't stop. Don't delay. Don't wait for us. Go home and be happy. You are a knight commander. You worked hard for it. Be proud, Ryan. You've earned it. You deserve it. Marry Justin. He cares about you and you care about him. That will be enough for your oath.
What about you?
He asked, voice ragged. I smiled, though I felt it tremble.
I'll be okay. You'll see. I'll be okay.
I'm Sam of Wilds.
I'll always be okay.
I thought he was going to say more, to wear me down until I was begging him not to leave, to kiss me just one more time, to never let it stop. But instead he nodded, curled his hands into fists at his sides, exhaled heavily. His shoulders were tense, but it mattered not. In the starlight, and I felt like that little boy again, that 15-year-old boy who saw him for the first time and who understood by the stumbling of his heart that nothing would ever be the same again.
Go, I said. Please go. And he did.
I looked up at the night sky as the sounds of his footsteps faded down the stone steps. The stars shone brightly. Chapter 25. Stories from the Journey Home. They left early the next morning. I told them to be careful. Justin scoffed and took Ryan's hand in his. Ryan nodded, but didn't look at me. I wanted to tell him I didn't regret a single thing. But I didn't. I watched the road long after they'd disappeared.
Why don't we just fly home? Gary asked. It'd only take a few days.
Humans don't ride upon my back,
Kevin said.
It's racist.
Gary swooned. Are you sure? I asked Kevin that first night after Justin and Ryan had left. We were at the top of the keep again. Gary and Tiggy were below us, looking through the books to see if there was anything of value that we could take. Mostly, it was explicitly detailed pornography, describing sexual acts that even made Gary blush.
Triple penetration? My gods, your asshole would be like a cave entrance after that.
About?
Kevin asked. Tail twitching. His black scales looked luminous in the moonlight. Going with us.
Are you questioning a god?
He asked.
Speak their truth, humans.
I rolled my eyes. Yeah, that doesn't quite work on me.
Had to make sure. It was nice while it lasted.
And then you ate her. He grimaced.
Not my finest moment. But she was a threat, and now she's not. So I guess it worked out in the end. And eventually, she'll work her way out of my end. Ha! Ironic, don't you think?
Ugh, I said.
Indeed.
She was a threat to you? I asked.
Well, yes. And to you, and Gary, and Tiggy. Since we don't like Ryan and Justin, we won't count them.
You defended us, I said, surprised.
Why wouldn't I?
He asked. Why would you? I'm a wizard. You hate wizards. You don't even really know us.
Are you a good person?
I think so, most of the time.
And Gary and Tiggy are good?
Yes. Better than me, for sure.
There you go,
he said, as if it were nothing. You're very strange, I said after a while.
Dragons usually are,
he said. But, I hesitated, unsure of my place. You said that you never met any other dragons.
We're giant lizards that fly and breathe fire,
he said.
That's strange in itself. I'm just generalizing.
There are others, you know.
I know,
he said quietly.
Maybe one day I'll meet them.
But not today.
Not today, pretty.
It was nice, though my heart was breaking. It was nice sitting out in the spring night air, where just 24 hours ago, I discovered what Ryan Foxhart tasted like. Sweet and clean and warm. It was nice. All of this was nice. Why'd you come here? I asked him.
Because I could.
Where did you come from?
Far away.
What were you looking for?
A place to call my own.
Dragons are frustrating, I said, because I could.
Are they? You know many of them.
No. But if you're anything to go by, it's not that broad of a generalization.
I've seen things,
he said.
Many different things. There are lands far away from here that you couldn't even possibly dream of. I've seen cliffs of ice so tall they disappear into the clouds. I've seen flowers deep in jungles that eat everything that happens by them. I've seen the hearts of men, the darkness that lies within. I've been captured by wizards who wanted nothing more than to spill my blood to make their spells. I've seen people cower in fear at the mere sight of me. I've seen a city that floats in the clouds, and the beings that live there have translucent skin and cannot speak, for they have no mouths. I've seen a volcano erupt during a lightning storm, ash in the sky as the mountain explodes. I've seen many things, Pretty.
I don't understand, I said. He sighed.
I've seen many things, both good and evil, majestic and destructive. Stars falling from the sky and a man whose tattoos moved across his skin as if they were alive before he tried to rip one of my hearts from my chest. I've seen many, many things, but I have never seen anyone look at another the way the night looks at you.
I said, don't.
Why?
He asked.
Because you don't believe it, or you don't want to hear it.
I said, just don't. He looked up at the night sky, scales glittering.
Everything is so vast. It's humbling to remember just how small we really are.
I followed his gaze skyward. The stars were so bright tonight. He said,
I left to find a home, to find a place I could call my own, to feel safe for the first time in my life. I didn't think I would ever actually find it.
And you have now.
You're not going to hurt me.
No, I would never hurt you. I paused, considering. Unless you tried to get all up in my business again, then I make no promises. He laughed. It was low and gravelly, and I thought I could listen to it for a very long time.
If I get up all in your business again, it'll be because you invited me in.
So, never then.
Promises, promises.
You feel safe with us. I said.
Yes, Pretty.
Why?
Because of how you and Gary and Tiggy care about each other.
They're dicks, I said.
Oh?
But so am I. We fit. They're my friends.
I noticed.
You're a dick, too, I said.
Thank you, Pretty.
He said with a toothy smile. I'm sorry, I said.
For what?
I shrugged. For whoever hurt you. It wasn't right. No one should ever have to go through that.
You're an odd one, aren't you?
Yeah, probably. Enough people tell me as much.
It's not a bad thing.
Most times.
I'm sorry I tried to burn you, and broke your ice spell, and then knocked you through the side of a building.
It was a shed.
Still, I feel real bad about that.
Do you?
Sort of. You have to admit I look pretty badass doing it, though.
I groaned. Yes, you crested the hill and your wings were billowing. I can't billow anything.
You can billow me anytime you want,
Kevin said. I said. Ew. And also, that didn't make any sense. But ew. Because of that thing you do with your tongue.
What thing?
He asked, flicking it at me again. Ugh, I said. My life. He laughed, and it faded into the night, and we just sat there, the dragon and I, lost in our own thoughts. I tried not to think about Ryan, but it was an impossible task, and one I wasn't quite ready yet to accept. I wondered how long it would hurt for. I wondered how long it would take my heart to heal. I thought about wishing on the stars for the pain to go away, but I couldn't. Not yet.
He doesn't deserve you,
Kevin said fiercely, breaking the silence. I closed my eyes. Yeah.
Gary told me what a cornerstone was. He doesn't deserve the title, and he doesn't deserve you.
He sounded resolute, more so than I ever could be. One day I'll believe you, I said. I felt him curl his tail around me. I waited for the moment it would become inappropriate, but it never came. He curled it around me and pulled me closer. His skin and scales were hot to the touch. It almost felt safe.
And one day,
he said, quietly,
maybe I could be there to tell you I told you so.
They were hesitant, his words, as if he feared rejection. So I said, yeah, I think you could be. I could hear his smile.
Tell me about your city then,
he said.
Are there people there who will make a cult for me?
And so I spoke into the night, telling him of the city of locks, of the streets and alleyways, of the markets and the slums, of a good king, of my kind parents, of my brother, Uncle Father Morgan. I fell asleep in the middle of describing the way the sun hit the castle walls, and I dreamed of home.
I can't leave everything,
Kevin growled at me the next day.
This is all my stuff.
We can't carry hundreds of pounds of gold and jewels, I reminded him, or thousands of books, or your completely random collection of 47 push brooms that I don't even know what to ask about. Kevin, I'll be honest with you. I think you've got a problem. His eyes narrowed.
What problem?
You're a hoarder.
Oh, no shit. I'm a dragon.
No, but like, you really hoard.
I like shiny, pretty things.
Push brooms aren't shiny or pretty.
You shut your whore mouth,
Kevin snarled. Oh boy, Gary said. This is going to get awkward.
I like brooms, Tiggy said. We take brooms?
No brooms, I said to Tiggy. His shoulders slumped.
Tiggy never gets anything,
he muttered. Oh my gods, I said. You are like the saddest thing I've ever seen. Damn you, Tiggy. You can take one broom.
Seven brooms,
he said. Three.
Two,
he countered. I don't think you're doing it right, Gary said fondly.
One,
he shouted.
One broom.
He cackled and ran toward the brooms. See, I said to Kevin. Compromise.
Okay,
Kevin said.
Here is my compromise. I take all of my stuff, and I won't burn your face off.
You can't compromise with violence.
I'm a dragon,
he said.
I can do pretty much anything I want.
We can't carry all this with us, I said.
I can make multiple trips,
he said.
I'll fly back and forth while you guys walk back to the castle.
I said, sighing more heavily than the situation required. I guess this stuff is important, especially if you're willing to leave Gary unprotected all that way, with all the dangers and the murderers. What? Gary said.
The murderers,
Kevin whispered. The murderers, I whispered back. Kevin gasped and brought his front claws to his chest.
I would never leave him unprotected, especially now.